After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased."
Let us pray. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, and the actions of our lives this coming week all be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I like the picture, Dean. Sam Houston was the first president of the Republic of Texas. He was a rather nasty fellow with a very checkered past. Later in life, Houston made a commitment to Christ and was baptized in a river. And the preacher said to him, "Sam, your sins are washed away." And Houston replied, "God help the fish." Today we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. At least there was one man whose baptism did not harm the environment, whose sins were no threat to the fish, who did not even need the baptism of repentance, whose baptism marked the beginning of a ministry that changed the world for all time. We've spoken before about what is unique about us is that we have been presented to God as perfect, valuable, worthy. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of what Christ has done for us. We don't need to hang our heads. We're not perfect people, but we are Christ's people. We have not arrived, but we are on the journey that leads to the kingdom of God, when God will reign in every heart. Key to that process is the sacrament of baptism. John was baptizing in the River Jordan. Here's what's interesting about John's ministry. Usually, baptism was reserved for Gentile converts to Judaism. But John was calling for a new beginning for his own people. Think Billy Graham. Most of the people who came forward at Billy Graham's great meetings were already Christians. They were already members of churches and active. Most of them, though, wanted to make a new start. John the Baptist was urging his fellow Jews to repent from their sins and the way they had been living. And to symbolize this, they would be baptized just like an outsider, a Gentile, who is coming to the Jewish faith. Have you ever wished you could start your life over? Sometimes I hear people say, "I wish I could be 18 again and know what I know now." And I don't need to raise your hands, but is there anybody here who would like to go back and live your life over? Maybe you made some bad choices. People do that, and some people feel great regret because of those choices. But we're not given the privilege of going back and starting over. And that's probably a good thing. We might mess up more the next time than we did this time. Are you thinking about how bad you might mess up the next time? But we can be set free from the emotional baggage we carry. We can be given a new heart, a new mind, so that we can find meaning and purpose in our circumstances as they are here and now. Jesus was often accused of being a glutton, a party guy, and a friend of sinners. He didn't seem to notice the criticism. I think he was tuned into far more important things than what other people thought about him. Perhaps it was because at his baptism, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit of God being brought down to him like a dove. And he heard a voice from heaven saying, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." No wonder he didn't live for the approval of the crowd. How about you and I? Does what other people think about us really bother us? Does it make us worry about what we do and what we say and what we think and where we go? Sometimes our biggest barrier to starting a new life is the fear of how those closest to us will react. If we do change, our relationships will inevitably be changed also. Other people are involved with our lives. We have responsibilities. If we change, how will our spouse react? How about our friends? It's easier to stay in our comfort zone, our rut, if we feel that others will regard us differently if we seek to change. Probably the greatest fear we have about beginning a new life is that we will backslide. Isn't that true? What if we don't succeed with our new life? We tell our friends that we're going on a diet, and the next time they see us, we're eating an ice cream soda, a big one, or maybe a Blizzard, the big size. I never tell my wife when I go to those places. You're laughing at me. It's embarrassing. Or we make a resolution that we're going to start reading the Bible every day in the morning. And then the kids' activity, it changes at school, and we don't have that time, and everything is messed up, and it just kind of falls away, and it doesn't happen. And because we have failed at something meaningful in the past, we are hesitant to try something else to make a real change now. It's interesting, after Jesus' baptism, she didn't read the next verse, but immediately Jesus was sent off into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the Satan. I don't know anyone who has attempted a real change in their lives who has not found themselves for a while in the wilderness. That's why resolutions are rarely kept. That's why good intentions are only as good as the paving blocks to the road to hell. There's only one real way to change, and that is to surrender our lives to a higher power. The reason that baptism is so powerful is that it's not a psychological exercise. It's a theological one. Want proof? Ask yourself why Alcoholics Anonymous is so much more effective than programs run by the government. Or why faith-based programs for helping drug addicts are so much more successful than government programs. You and I cannot save ourselves from drowning by trying to pull ourselves out of the water with our own hair. We're going to have a new life this year, and we're going to need help from above. But the good news is that help is available. It is available by faith in Jesus Christ. In 1969, Bill and Gloria Gaither had just welcomed their second child into the world. Our nation was grappling with race riots, a war in Vietnam, political assassinations, and general cultural upheaval. There are few signs of stability. The Gaithers were worried about the kind of world that their young children were being born into. What would they face in the future? And Gloria remembers, while pondering and praying about these things, we came to realize anew that our courage doesn't come from living in a sane, quiet, secure, stable world. Jesus himself was born in the cruelest of times. You know, we have babies and raise families and risk living because the resurrection is true. And out of that firm conviction, the Gaithers wrote one of their best love songs, Because He Lives. With its inspiring chorus, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Because He Lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living, just because He lives. Change is possible. But we're going to need God's help. Behold, I make all things new, Christ says to us in Revelation. We are invited to a new life in this new year. But first, we have to surrender our lives to Jesus. In a few minutes, after we sing Because He Lives and Bless the Water, that dirty river water. By the way, the thing that amazed me was that it was cleaner than what was coming out of my faucet when I got home. And I really dipped it out in those big bottles out of the Jordan River. We do not rebaptize persons in our church, but we do reaffirm our commitment to Christ. And I'm going to offer you that opportunity this morning. As you go on your way, may God go with you. May He go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.